It's the Out of Your League Modcast, presented by Gridiron Mods. And here are your hosts, Vivian and Milton.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Vivian. It's been a really rough week for me. You know, after Sunday's game, Lamar Jackson, he really had me believing for a while. But then say freaking Jones. I mean, that dude, he helped me, you know, win my biggest fantasy league, but what a meltdown. God, I checked out of the game because it was done when he fumbled that ball. Anyways, and then the Lions, they had me believing so bad. I'm pretty sure you were like, oh, no, we're done. Oh, no, what's going on here? And I was believing, Bibi, and I was believing that a Lion was finally going to take down the Niners. The Bengals weren't able to back in the day. Maybe this time this Lion was going to be the one, but no. They just, I don't know what happened in the second half, and they broke my heart. So that's what I get for believing in underdogs. I hate them. Honestly, I have not listened to any podcast. I have not seen Twitter, Instagram, whatever, Vivian. I have not seen the NFL channel, anything, because I was so checked out. So, but here I am. I'm like a pro. I'm showing up. So let's get started. Let me, I'm trying to get into the Niner wagon. Maybe after this podcast with you, Vivian, I'm in. But let me get out of my dark place and congratulate you, Vivian. How are you feeling? I mean, after all my dark discourse here, pretty sure you're on the other side of things.
I am. I am still riding the high from Sunday. It was a very emotional roller coaster, but I'm happy to see the 49ers head to the Super Bowl.
Of course. Of course you are. That was a big party. You probably start partying. But you still got another week to process, and let's get to some news, which, again, people, this will be genuine reactions because I have not cared about football for the last 4 days.
All right, some news today. First up, looks like Greg Olsen is being replaced as Fox Sports' top game NFL analyst after Tom Brady has officially agreed to a 10-year, $375 million deal.
Holy shit. Now I'm cussing because I'm mad. I'm still like, yeah, that's... And Greg Olsen was good, no?
I liked him.
Yeah. Wow. All right. The GOAT is back.
Yeah. Goes to show, you know, you can be unemployed for a year and still make a comeback.
All right. I'll do that.
Head coaching news, actually a lot of coaching news. Big one this morning is that the Washington Commanders announced that they are hiring Cowboys DC Dan Quinn as their new head coach. He and their new general manager, Adam Peters, who is the former assistant general manager of the 49ers, are the future for this team that has the number 2 overall pick and 5 picks in the top 100 for a total of 9 picks in this upcoming draft in April. Not only that, the Commanders also have $70 million in cap space, which is the most in the NFL. So I think this is a good fit, to be honest. The Commanders certainly had their offensive issues this year, but their defensive issues were somehow way, way worse. So let's see what Dan Quinn can do. Hopefully he learned his lessons from his last stint as a head coach.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's big. I didn't know this. See, people, I didn't know this. I'm just like, whoa. So the Cowboys lost their magnificent defensive coordinator. They're going to be worse next year.
Yes. Also losing their defensive coordinator, the Seattle Seahawks yesterday hired Ravens DC Mike McDonald as their new head coach.
What?
The Ravens defensive rankings this past year, obviously we know they were like the top defense of the year. Opponents points per game, they were ranked first. Opponents yards per game, they were ranked fifth. Opponents points per play, they were first. Second in opponents yards per play. Opponents third down conversions, only 9%. Opposing teams red zone scoring, they were second, and then touchdowns per game, they were first. So needless to say, the Ravens fans are not okay after what happened on Sunday. This news came out on Wednesday. I mean, if you watched that game, McDonald was the only reason that Chiefs game was not a blowout. I felt like he added far more than Harbaugh did. Now, word on the street is that the Commanders were actually calling Mike McDonald as he was heading to Seattle to see if he was still interested. So no matter how they eventually spin it, does look like the Commanders lost their top two choices for head coach. Dan Quinn was the third choice.
That doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this came out literally right after our recording on Thursday last week, but the Falcons did in fact hire Rams defensive coordinator Raheem Morris as their new head coach. So that was an interesting pick, but Arthur Smith is not without a job. He is headed to Pittsburgh. Steelers are hiring him as their new offensive coordinator. As Tom Pelissero reported, you know, Smith had a top run game as the Titans OC before heading to Atlanta 3 years ago. And now he'll be coaching, obviously, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren, and company in Pittsburgh.
Oh, my God. How does this guy still have a job? Anyways.
I don't know. How do you feel about that in terms of the Steelers' fantasy values?
Like, wasn't Matt Canada, like, isn't this guy, like, part two of Matt Canada? Like, they don't know how to use their stars. They just try to get cute. This sucks. If anything, he was good with Titans because he had King Henry. That's all.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy to think about. I kind of already forgot about that stint. It seems like so long ago. But it is crazy weird to me that he somehow understood that, you know, he had Derrick Henry on the team. He's a stud, obviously, and understood how to effectively use him to get the numbers that he did as an OC, but somehow could not do the same with Bijan Robinson. I feel like, I mean, it's anyone's, you know, guess whether or not he will be able to do it with Jalen or Najee or any of those guys, because he does like the big bruiser back. So I think Najee a little bit more fits that profile a little bit more, but I don't know. We will have to see whether or not you think it's a good hire. Obviously, fantasy players hate Arthur Smith. We all hate Arthur Smith.
Yeah, we hate him.
Could be a good opportunity next season, I don't know, to take Najee or Warren as, you know, late round picks, because their value is definitely going to tank.
Don't touch them, people. I'm not touching any Pittsburgh Steelers next year.
Let's see what else we got here. We got Browns. The Browns are hiring former Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey as their new OC. So this is an interesting shift to me because, as we know, Dorsey runs a very pass-first offense, which is the exact opposite of what the Browns typically did. This man had no run game, which is why the Bills collapsed mid-season. I think in terms of fantasy, you know, Nick Chubb will somehow make it work. Granted that, you know, he can make his knees work. It looks like Dolphins are interviewing Chris Shula, grandson of legendary coach Don Shula, for their DC coordinator job today. Per sources, Chris Shula has spent the past seven seasons as an assistant with the Rams, most recently as a pass rush coordinator slash linebackers coach. So more to come on that. Former Panthers OC Thomas Brown is joining the Bears as their new pass game coordinator, a reunion for him and Shane Waldron, who were both on McVay's staff together in LA. Some coaches who are staying, it looks like Lions OC Ben Johnson has decided to once again stay in Detroit. I mean, I think this is good. This is good for Lions fans. They're all amped up to really try to do something special in Detroit. You know, we talked about it ahead of the championship week matchup last week. It's the Lions have been trending up, you know, year over year, obviously, as they trend up, the tougher it will get. But love that. I love the commitment. I love the fire.
Love it. Yeah, me too.
Texans OC Bobby Slowick has also agreed to a new deal in Houston that included a significant raise. So he is also trying to do something special out there. You know, the team, we've talked about the team all season, going from the roster that they had, you know, number two overall pick with a rookie quarterback and being able to make it playoffs is really something special. So they will look to do the same for next year. Also returning, 85-year-old Tom Moore will be back for his 46th season of coaching in the NFL. This is absolutely wild. I mean, this man won Super Bowl 13, 41, and 55. He coached the likes of Fran Tarkenton, Terry Bradshaw, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady.
Well, who's he coaching? Who's he coming for?
He is the coach for the Bucks.
Wow.
Nice.
Yes. So far, it looks like, you know, I think all the head coaching vacancies are filled. So coaches who did not land a job this hiring cycle includes Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Mike Vrabel, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, Anthony Weaver, Eric Bieniemy, Gerald Everill, and Mike Kafka. Yeah, I'm really shocked that I think everybody is shocked that Bill Belichick has no job and is not retired.
Yeah. See, this is for all people out there. You know, the market is tough, you know. So sometimes you have all these interviews and you don't get hired. And I'm like, I'm the best. So yeah, even the best get ghosted, whatever.
Yes. A little bit of player news, not a lot, obviously, as we head into the Super Bowl. Lions quarterback Teddy Bridgewater is officially retiring. I think he announced that a couple months ago that he would be retiring after this season. So Hendon Hooker is very eager, obviously, to move into the number two role in Detroit, and he apparently plans to live with Bridgewater in preparation.
Oh, okay. All righty. That was a lot of news. I'm shocked. Yeah. I'm shocked Belichick doesn't have a job. Oh, yeah. Let's keep going.
All right. We had championship week last week. AFC matchup was Chiefs-Ravens. That was the first game. This followed by the NFC matchup, which was the Lions-Niners. So, obviously, we'll go in order. Chiefs-Ravens, a lot of talk about this game. Ravens were coming in 3.5-point home favorites, over under 44.5. Hit the under. Final score was 17-10. Now, poor refereeing aside, this Ravens are frauds. Ravens took their successful run game and massively underutilized it in a favorable matchup on literally their biggest stage of the freaking season. We talked about the gaps in the Chiefs defense, which is in the run D, and we talked about that heading into the matchup on Sunday, how the Ravens literally have the number one rushing offense. For the fact that the number one rushing team barely ran the ball, it was so freaking puzzling. The coaches abandoned the run so early in the game. The running back room had a total of six carries.
That's
six
stupid.
Carries for the whole game. Why do you have a run first offense against a questionable run defense, and you forced Lamar to make 34 passes.
And they were blitzing him like crazy, so that's when you run.
Yes, I do not understand. Honestly, I mean, we all know this has not been the first time. It's not the first time that Harbaugh has been badly outcoached in the playoffs for a while. I think, honestly, if he had not been with the Ravens for so long, like, he probably would have been immediately fired for the horrific game plan. Like, people always say, like, the Ravens are always good. Like, yeah, but they've only won, like, three playoff games in the last decade, and they have good rosters every single year. And then Lamar, what happened to MVP Lamar, Milton? Explain to me.
I don't think he was off. I mean, like you mentioned, they were blitzing him like crazy, so that was a plan. So, I mean, when that happens, you just freaking run the ball, that's all. And then you burn the blitzers. That's football 101. And then he did have his own catch and pass and reception by himself. That was pretty amazing.
That part was cool, but go ahead.
But he was good. I mean, he was just being blitzed. And then when you had Say Jones is the one that threw the game away for him, and then he was depressed after that.
You know what? I don't agree. I feel like if you have the MVP candidate of the season, even OBJ said to Lamar during the game, you know, he said, to quote, "You change the whole dynamic of the game when you take off, and we got to get some shit going. Like, what the fuck is going on?" I agree. Like OBJ, pointing out the obvious, Lamar was just freaking standing in the pocket. The few times he did scramble or buy time, it resulted in a touchdown, a first down, or like a manageable second or third down. But he was even scrambling after the line of scrimmage sometimes. It's like, just run. Just freaking run the ball. And then, I don't know, maybe it was because like the coaches were forcing him to pass so much. But like in a one-score game, those two end zone turnovers, that's what cost the Ravens the game. That pass that he threw, in a short pass in triple coverage that ended up being an interception, like even if the PI was called, because people were like, I felt like at that point people didn't even care about the PI. It was like, there's no, I mean, he's throwing it into triple coverage. Like it was an uncatchable ball. So the PI wouldn't have made a difference.
I have to confess, Vivian, I turned off the TV at the beginning of the fourth quarter. That was how mad I was, because I don't really know I was lost. So I didn't even care what happened. I just started playing video games, my own Madden fantasy game, and you know, play out my own life. I didn't even see that interception you're talking about. I'm just learning about this right now.
Oh my God, it was so bad. You should watch the replay. Honestly, no, it just kind of, it kind of feels like, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes maybe got in his head and, you know, he wanted to beat him in a gunsling match for whatever reason, but you're not going to. Like, if your game is running, run the damn ball, control the clock, force Mahomes to make the big plays to beat you. He probably will, because he's Patrick Mahomes. But also, this is the one year where he's throwing to scrubs like MVS. So, you know, a dropped ball could have changed that game. Yeah, I don't know. This was crazy. It was like the Ravens didn't even want to be there.
Do you think they threw the game? Like in the longest yard, you know, the football movie game. I mean, movie, you know, where they pay the quarterback to throw the game. And, you know, I don't know. No, I don't think so. It's just, I don't know, Vivian. Like you said, Mahomes got into his head. Just a disaster. What a disaster. I'm so mad.
Absolute mad. Disaster. I don't know. I'm just annoyed that all we're gonna get, I mean, all we've been getting heading into the Super Bowl is Taylor Swift. I don't even hate Taylor Swift. I like Taylor Swift. You but like also, Taylor. Cut that shit out, okay? We're here to watch football.
Well, to be fair, I don't think she's gonna be in the Super Bowl. I heard she's on a tour, so you're good with that? No, I think
The Swifties have done the math. It's all over the media where they're like, she is playing in Tokyo, but they did the math where it's like, oh, it's, I don't even know what the fuck it is. It's like, oh, it's a 16-hour flight, but Tokyo's 13 hours ahead, so she could get there by like Saturday night. Yeah, whatever. Nobody cares.
One thing I'll mention before we move into the game, Kelsey. Fuck, this guy lost me a league and now he's playing good now in the playoffs. So I guess he got used to the sex again and he's being able to, you know, be in condition, catching balls again. He's the one that won them the football game. If they didn't have Kelsey, they wouldn't have beat the Bills back in the last week, Vivian. So Kelsey's back. That's the scary thing. Because when that guy's on, that's the real MVP in that team.
I mean, 100%. Like, they're... He is probably the most key player on that offense, obviously, aside from Mahomes himself. Pacheco, obviously, is great. Rice has been trending up, but the rest?
If there was no Kelsey, they would have lost all these games, period.
Okay, can we just talk about, real quick, Kadarius Toney? I kind of forgot about that. I forgot he was on the team because he didn't play, obviously. But can we just talk about Kadarius Toney?
Magnificent superstar, my Kadarius Toney, that everyone was rushing to get in fantasy football last year. Yes,
honestly, it was about damn time that the Kansas City Chiefs woke the fuck up and saw Toney for what he was.
Maybe that's what happened. Yes, once they took him out of the squad, get out of here, that's when they became good again. Maybe he was just jinxing them. You know, like a cancer inside there. Maybe that's what happened.
Ooh. That's a good theory. I mean, there's certainly better without. Well, he. I don't want to say they're better without him, but he definitely makes them immediately worse.
They're catching balls. They didn't drop balls in this Ravens game. I didn't see any balls being dropped. So, yeah, I think that he was bad juju.
Bad juju.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, let's move on to the NFC Championship matchup. Niners, Lions. Niners were the 7-point home favorites, over under 51. This game hit the over. Final score was 31-34. Now, the 49ers have two of the largest comebacks in the history of NFC Championship games. First being 2013, down 17-0 to the Falcons, and it ended up winning 28-24, and now down 24-7 to the Lions and winning 34-31. And with that, the NFC Championship loss marks Detroit's 14th straight loss in San Francisco, a streak that dates back to 1975. Now, I think you said it. You said it when we talked about the bulletin board material last Thursday. CJ Gardner-Johnson waving goodbye to the 49ers crowd as the Lions were up 20-7 was the jinx.
Horrible. Yeah, that's what happens. I didn't see that happen, Vivian. I didn't even see that. Wow.
It was. They played it on the screen at the game. Like, we all saw.
You were there, right? You were there.
I was there. It was a last-minute decision. I was not planning on going because I was too nervous. But you can't say no to free tickets to an NFC Championship game. So, yeah, ended up going down. I will tell you, this is my level of, I mean, you know, Milton, because you have watched games with me. Anybody who has watched any sporting event with me knows and understands my level of superstitions. But for all of you out there who have never watched a game with me, let me tell you what happened. We get to the game. And, you know, start of the game, we get our food, we sit down in our seats, game takes off, all right? Jameson Williams, I think it was, took the Lions' first touchdown in the first drive. Okay, I'm like, you know, it's okay. They had the ball, they took it, you know, this is going to be a competitive game. It's an over-under of 51, so we are expecting this to be a competitive game. Ball comes to the Niners. We take it down the field, don't do anything with it. Jake Moody immediately misses that freaking field goal. And I just had flashbacks to what I said before the Packers game the week before. And I was like, oh, no. Jake Moody cannot be trusted. First of all, his parents are Lions fans.
Oh, yeah.
Panic is when the panic sets in. And then Lions get the ball. They score again. And I'm just like, what is happening? We get the ball, don't do anything with it. I leave to go to the bathroom, like 6 minutes in the second. I was like, you know what? I have to go to the bathroom. I go down, I go to the bathroom. I come out, I'm waiting for my friend. And as I come out and I'm watching the game on the screen, I don't even remember who it was. I think it was Debo. I might have blacked out for a little bit. But it was when we were taking it down the field and he cut it. He ran to the outside and then cut in. And then we get some yardage, and then we scored our first touchdown. And my friend comes out of the bathroom, and I looked at her, and I said, I have bad news. I don't think we can go back to our seats.
Oh, why?
And she thought I was kidding. I was not kidding. She was like, what do you mean? I was like, the Niners just scored. We've been playing like shit. We're down here. We just scored. I don't think we can go back to our seats.
The jinx thing.
And she was like, no. Like, we'll get drinks. We didn't have drinks when we first sat down. Maybe we get drinks. It'll be different.
That's what triggered it.
All right. So we get drinks. We go back to our seats, right? Lions have the ball. We're walking up the steps. We meet up with our other friend who had stayed at the seats. He looked at us and he's like, I don't know if you guys can come back here. And I said the same thing. I don't know if I should be here. there was a play happening. So everyone's standing up. We're standing up. Play ends, we sit down immediately. That was the third Lions touchdown. That was the moment they went up 20-7. The moment our butts touched the seats, I immediately stood up and I was like, nope, I'm out. I cannot be here. Sorry to all the people that I just forced to stand up so I can get to my seat. I gotta leave immediately. So I made everybody get out of their seats. Luckily, it was close to halftime, and we were meeting up with some other folks anyways. We go down to the concourse, and we're watching the game from the concourse. And let me tell you, at halftime, I have never heard Levi Stadium so freaking quiet. It was dead silent. It was silent. It was so somber. There was nobody even buying drinks. There was no beer lines. None.
Wow.
My friend looks at me and she says, let's go take a tequila shot. Just drown our sorrows. I said, sure. We go to the bar and, you know, she's like, it's over. It's all over. The Chiefs won. This is rigged. They wanted Chiefs, you know, Chiefs Lions Super Bowl. It's over. Like, there's no way we're coming back from this. And then the halftime show, it was freaking Journey. They start playing Don't Stop Believing. It was like rubbing salt in the wound. It's just like, are you freaking kidding me? And I said, this is like when you go back in the day, when you go to a Giants game and it's, you know, in between the eighth inning where they do the sing-along and then they play Don't Stop Believing by Journey and we're down 6 runs and there's no way we're going to come back, but they just want people to stay and like hang out for a little bit. That's what it felt like. And it was miserable. Now, we got our drinks. We stayed on the concourse and we started watching the third quarter. And of course, we all know the play that made the game flip, or the back-to-back plays that made the game flip, which is the catch off the defender's face mask and then the fumble on the next drive. Those are the pivotal moments that, you know, flip the game in the third quarter. And we at that point, none of us had gone back to our seats. We were just, you know, we were waiting on people, and I was watching it on the Jumbotron. I told everyone, I was like, nobody's going back to their seats. We have momentum here. Nobody move. And nobody moved. And then we went up. People did return to their seats towards the end of the game, but I couldn't do it. I just knew the moment that I walked away, the moment I walked towards my seat, something bad was going to happen. So I never made it back to my seats. It was exactly what happened last year with the Cowboys game, where I ended up watching, albeit that was from the lounge. That was nice. But I watched the whole game from the lounge and not from my seats.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it happened.
That's how it happened. It's because I never returned to my seat, Milton. That's exactly how it works.
So the thing is, you can be in the stadium, but you cannot sit on the seats. So you can be anywhere. That's how your powers work.
Yes. And I wore the exact same thing I wore to the Packers game.
Okay.
Didn't wash it. So I will be wearing the exact same thing next weekend for the Super Bowl.
Will you sit down, or maybe that's just your butt triggering, you know, something? Maybe it's just a standing up. Oh, no, because you said as soon as you start walking, no?
Yes. I do think, though, I got to find my way to Allegiant Stadium and be standing within the vicinities. I think that's how it works.
Okay. That's the jinx. Very interesting. No, yeah. I love the trip you took. Did you sing the song at least? Did people were singing to Don't Stop Believing?
No, nobody was singing. Everyone's like, shut the fuck up.
Oh, nice.
That's need this. Everyone was mad.
Cool. And then you said a Lion player waved you guys goodbye in the second half. And that also like ruined it for them. Wow. So they were celebrating. Yeah, it was bad coaching from them. They thought they had the game, Vivian. They went to halftime. They were like, that happens to the Bengals.
I mean, I think everyone did. I think everyone did. No, we thought they had
Tom Brady took their team from 28-3. You don't stop believing. You know, it's everything is possible. So yeah, it was too soon. I mean, Shanahan didn't look perplexed. He was like confounded. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know what to do. He looked outcoached, but the spiritual powers went into Levi Stadium, and I don't know, something. Something magical. You believe in magic, Vivian? You do. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Is it the power of Journey?
Believing God?
Who knows? Because also the second half, like, not only did our offense play better, our defense was still kind of playing like shit. I don't understand. Like, outside of the Ravens, we have one of the best defenses in the league. Can't generate any pressure. Oh my God. The first, we could not generate any pressure. Really? Even actually in the third quarter, still, like, Goff had so much time in the pocket. He was just chilling there. All the time to throw in the world. But miraculously, all of the wide receivers, I don't know, they just all put WD-40 on their hands during halftime. They could not catch a ball. Reynolds dropped, going for it on fourth down. The ball literally hit him right in the hands. Thank God that he didn't catch that. It was so crazy.
They were in focus. That's when you lose focus. You're like, oh, I'm already, they're already seeing themselves in Las Vegas. See?
Yes.
The coach should have been there. Dan Campbell. No, no, no. This is not over. We keep stomping them. No, no. It was bad.
I know a lot of Dan Campbell obviously is getting a lot of flack for going for it on fourth downs, but I think it's fine. I don't know about you.
I'm fine because this is what happens to Jim Harbaugh. He always runs the ball, and then in that game, he doesn't run the ball. That's stupid. You are who you are, and you play to that. So you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And I appreciate
that. Dan Campbell was praised all season long for making the same decision, always going for it on fourth down. People talked about how he had the biggest balls of any coach in the league. That's who they are. You got to go for it, especially on the biggest stage of your season. You know, like, what are you going to do? Oh, let's just stop short and see what happens. Like, no, you either, you know, it's, you just got to do it.
Maybe, maybe, Vivian, this is what happened. Because they had that fourth and two before the end of the half, and he decided to go for a field goal. Maybe that's when the gods stopped anointing him, because he should have gone for that play and gone 28-7. Maybe that's, he went a little soft there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, but I don't, I mean, I stand by Dan Campbell's decision. I think it was a good decision. The team just kind of fell apart, thank God.
I stand by him, but he should have not done that field goal before the end of half, and maybe the script would have been different. But yeah, I'm happy for you, Vivian. Yeah, it happened. The Lions had me believing, and I was so brokenhearted because I really wanted them to win. Sorry, Bay Area. Sorry, you, Vivian. But, you know, it is what it is. And here we are. Mahomes, Niners, part two. With no Jimmy G this time, so you're good.
Yeah. I think post-game, dude, I feel for Lions fans. I think if it wasn't going to be us, I would have hoped that it was them. But Dan Campbell obviously said the, you know, the most real thing that you ever hear a coach admit after the game. He said to the locker room that this might have been their only shot. He doesn't believe that, but he says, obviously, it will be twice as difficult next year. You're not hiding from anyone anymore. Everyone will want a piece of you. And I agree. I've been high on the Lions for the last, not only this year, but even the previous year. I spent half the episodes asking you, Milton, if the Lions were for real. And I do think they are. And now people finally see them for, you know, who they are. And it's going to get tougher. People are going to, you know, game plan when they come face to face with the Lions next season. Whereas I think even in this season, people were still kind of like, you know, it's the Lions. It's it's going to be easy. So they got a tough road ahead of them. But yeah. The Super Bowl stage is set. It is 49ers, Chiefs. AFC team is the home team this year because the NFC team was the home team last year. Lines have opened. Niners are the 2.5-point favorites, so over under 47.5. Now, this is very interesting because the Vegas spread, the Vegas line is completely different from what every single freaking analyst is saying out there. It's you know, all you hear on the broadcast, it's Mahomes, it's Kelsey, it's fucking Taylor Swift. It's about how the Chiefs are gonna take this easy, and I like that. I like being the underdog. Not by the Vegas spread, we're not underdogs, but I like being the underdogs in the eye of the world. I feel like we play better. Because we've been playing like shit as the home favorites the last 2 weeks, and we cannot come into, you know, we cannot come into Vegas playing the way we did, especially the defense.
Yep, we'll go deeper into this probably next week, right, Vivian?
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, this was a great convo. Last year, you know, I was so mad when the Bengals lost to the Chiefs by 3 points. 3 points. They had the game, Vivian. All these my Bengals. I remember this episode was my last one. I was like, slam the computer show. I never want to. This time I'm going to keep recording podcasts. I'll be stronger. So even if my Mahomes wins again, which I don't want to, we'll keep podcasting. I'll be stronger. But for the meantime, you know, we have something fun, flag football bowl. I think it's amazing. What's your opinion on flag football? Just quick, like, you like it? I love it. Me personally, I love it. Only they would make the field.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Actually, I remember us watching the Pro Bowl last season. It was actually kind of, you know, all these games, it's kind of entertaining. I mean, yeah. What else are you going to do? There's nothing going on. There's no football to watch. What else are you going to do? It's also a fucking rainy weekend here in San Francisco. Like, I got nothing going on.
You're going to Las Vegas? Watch
the Pro Bowl, I guess.
are you going to Las Vegas at least? I mean, you might go to the Super Bowl, but I don't know.
You're thinking Vegas about pro. It. It's very hard to pull the trigger. They are saying that this is the most expensive Super Bowl in Super Bowl history. Of course it freaking is, you know.
Swifties are invading.
Of course it is. The cheapest tickets right now, taxes and fees included. I already looked. I looked on the drive home. $10,000.
Wow.
The most expensive tickets, they are reporting, are actually $2 million, which is just absolutely insane. It is actually, this conversation I feel like happens every year around the Super Bowl, and this year it's no difference. It is kind of crazy to me that the tickets and everything are priced the way it is, because real fans get priced out, and then the people who can afford these tickets don't actually pay for the tickets. You know, it's all corporate celebrities and things like that. Like, kind of a bummer. So we'll see if we make it work.
They should have something like ticket control, you know, like rent control, ticket control for people, you know, regular fans. Anyways, yeah, I'll be watching flag football. I like it. It's going to be on the Olympics this year as well. So keep an eye on that. That's going to be fun. Mexico's women flag football is champion of the world, by the way, just in case people didn't know. So there's that. But all right, I feel better after talking football with you, Vivian. And I'll be deciding who I'm going to root for. Maybe no one wants me to root for no one anymore. So maybe I'll just keep my mouth fucking shut. Till next week's pod. I don't want to ruin anything. I don't want to touch nothing. I don't know. In the meantime, we're freaking done here. We're like Greg Olsen. Because the GOAT is coming. So see you, Greg. CVS or wherever. I'm okay, man.